You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
We're in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 this morning. And the title of the sermon this morning is Clothes of Glory. Clothes of Glory. So one of the places where people display their fancy and expensive clothes is in the red carpet of VIPs and celebrities at formal events. You might have seen that on the TV. So a fashion director and a chief fashion critic for the New York Times says, for me, the most effective red carpet looks are not just the aesthetically successful, elegant, beautiful, flattering, but reflect a moment of social or cultural change. It is a combination of style and substance that makes them memorable. When the famous people is walking through the red carpet with their expensive dress that they're just going to wear one time in their life, but people is going to talk about them for years if they're successful, if they're beautiful. So that is how humanity sees glory. Those are the clothes that people wears that the world appreciates. The beautiful, aesthetically successful looks that bring celebrities high up in the eyes of the world. Those are the clothes that will give them glory before the world. However, today we will learn that this is not what will bring a person high up in the eyes of God. So, what are the clothes that brings a person up high in the eyes of God? What are the clothes that I have to wear to be gloriously exalted in the eyes of God? These are not the clothes that we wear on Sunday because they're more fancy than the rest of the week. But from our text today, we will learn that those clothes are the clothes of humility. Clothe yourself with humility. If you want to be exalted by God, clothe yourself with humility. Those are the clothes that we need to put on before others to be exalted by God. Humility are the clothes of glory. And this is what the text is prescribing to us this morning. Clothe yourself with humility to be exalted by God. Clothe yourself with humility to be exalted by God. And I want to show you two ways you clothe yourself with humility according to 1 Peter verses chapter 5 verses 1 through 5. Two ways. Number one, setting an example. And that is in verses 1 through 4, our longest section. Setting an example. Number two, doing it before others. So setting an example and doing it before others. So let's talk about the first point this morning. Clothe yourself with humility to be exalted by God by setting an example. We just read the verses this morning. And I am saying that humility starts with an example. Because an example was set before us before. And now we are to be example to others. And in these four verses, these first four verses, there are three characters that set an example to us in this text. And those three characters are Peter, the elders, and Christ. They're setting an example to us, and they're saying, hey, Christians, you also need to be an example. And then we can understand that we also must be an example of humility to others. So the first one is Peter. In verse 1, Peter is the one that is writing this letter. And in verse 1, he's talking to the elders, that is the pastors of the church. Peter is giving them an exhortation to shepherd the flock of God with humility. I say this because all the instructions of Peter are related to a humble oversight of the church of Christ. But before Peter gives these instructions, he puts himself as an example when he says, as a fellow elder. So Peter is giving them instructions of things that he is already doing. Now, Peter wasn't this humble always. He had to grow in humility. If you study a little bit of who Peter was, you will find out that he wasn't very humble in the Gospels. One example of that is in Matthew 26, when Jesus said to Peter, right before he was delivered to his executors, he said to Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Look at the pride of Peter. Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. He was so confident. Peter thought, I am the man. I will die with Christ. Peter acted without humility, thinking that he would stand firm with Christ in the moments of persecution and difficulty. And he didn't. He denied Jesus. And he cried bitterly because he didn't stand to his prideful statement. Peter was impulsive and not a very much self-controlled person. But in this letter, chapter 5, we see a different Peter. One that grew through trials and time by the hand of Jesus in humility. So, if you feel that you have failed in the attempt of being humble, you still can grow in that area if you continue walking by the hand of your Lord Jesus Christ, the same way that Peter did. So don't act impulsively and think that you can do it. Don't think more of yourself than you actually are, as Peter did at some point. You need to know that by his grace, you are what you are. Then we have a second example, and that is the example of the elders, the humility of the elders. As Peter is exhorting them in verses 1 through 4 to exercise oversight of the church of God. He says, not domineering over those in your charge, but being example of the flock. Being example of the flock. Verses 1 through 4 are directly addressed to the elders to instruct them on humility as they shepherd the church. But the example of humble pastors is set for the sake of whom? The example of humble pastors is for the sake of the church. So when you, a member of Bethany Baptist Church, reads these verses, you can observe at these verses and think, oh yeah, this is the kind of elder that we are looking. This is the kind of pastor that we need at a church. A humble pastor. A pastor that chose humility. Yeah, and that is right. We should seek for humble leadership. But the purpose of having a humble pastor in the church is that he can set an example for you. Thus, the final purpose of a humble pastor is that you can become humble. So these four verses are directed to a pastor, to the elders of the church, but applied directly to you and to me, because the final purpose is that the disciples of Jesus follow an example of humility. Now we have a third example. Peter, the elders, and the third example is the example of Jesus Christ. Why? Peter says in verse 1, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ." Witness of the sufferings of Christ. I am a fellow elder and I was witness of the sufferings of Christ. He knew Christ. He saw him walking in suffering. Peter is exhorting the elders to be humble as he, Peter, is humble, because he saw Christ being humble in his sufferings. So what is the situation that Christ was humble? Well, Jesus Christ was humble always. But the greatest demonstration of humility of Jesus Christ was in the moment of suffering. That is the moment where his humility was more evident. And of course, it is easy to be humble when everybody treats you like if you were the prince of a kingdom. It is easy to be kind if everybody is kind to you. It is easy to respond with grace if everybody is graceful to you. Imagine that you are walking in the streets of McKinley Park, and all the people that you pass by says, "Good morning, sir. Have a blessed day." Or they say, "Good afternoon, madam. God may be with you." How would you respond? People don't do that, by the way. But how would you respond? You will be graceful. You will respond with the same manner of politeness. And you will be like, "Oh, wow. Yeah, I like this." And you will respond the same way. Now, imagine that you walk in downtown Chicago, and everywhere you go, people is rude to you, and they don't treat you very well. How would you respond? It's not very easy, right, to respond with kindness when people is rude. Now, people weren't just a little bit disrespectful to Jesus, but they spit on his face. They bit him. They insulted him. They dishonored him. They mistreated him. And he stayed humble. He did not respond with insults. He did not defend himself before his false accusers and witnesses. Jesus did not oppose to those that cast lots over his clothes. The Roman soldiers took off Jesus' garments, but nobody could tear off his clothes of humility. Jesus was ashamed and almost naked in the eyes of the world, but fully dressed with humility and glory before God. Jesus Christ clothed himself with humility to the point of death. That high was his conviction of humility. all the way to the cross. Jesus is the greatest example of humility because he was humble to the point of death, and because the story does not finish there. But on the third day, God rose him again from the death to give him all the glory, to demonstrate that humility are the true clothes of glory. The clothes of humility are the clothes of glory because God exalted Jesus to the highest. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God at this very moment. And a verse that you might know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 through 11, shows this. It shows us that the glory of Christ is greater than his humiliation. Philippians 2, 8 through 11 says, "And being found in human form, he," Jesus Christ, "humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore," here is the exaltation of God, "therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God exalted Jesus Christ, but God will exalt also all of those who humble themselves by recognizing their sinful condition and believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior to live a life of humility. Jesus humbled himself, being God, having no reason to come to the world and humble himself. But he did it for you and for me. How much more should we humble ourselves? We have no reasons to exalt ourselves, and we have many reasons to humble ourselves. But after humbling ourselves, the promise is that God will exalt us. He will give us grace. He will give us forgiveness. And in the last day, we will see the glory of the Lord. So the same exhortation that Peter is giving to the elders, saying, "Elders, shepherd the flock with humility, not by obligation, not for money, not with pride, but being an example," is for us. I think the emphasis of Peter is to be an example of humility. Those shepherds will be rewarded with a crown of glory, says verse 4. The elders in the church set an example to the flock by receiving the promise of glory when Jesus comes again for his people. Now you are called, and I am called, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be humble and to set an example for other believers and for the world. An example of humility. And the promise is, and at last day, God will exalt you. Humble today, but exalted in the last day. This humility that Peter is talking about is humility that is displayed before other people. Not just a humility before God, but a humility before other people. To be humble is not just to say, "God, I humble myself before you," and then go out of your house and mistreat other people. But this humility, it is displayed before other people. And that is our second point today. Clothe yourself with humility to be exalted by God, doing it before others. And that is based on verse 5. So verse 1 through 4 show us that we have to be an example of humility. and verse 2 are showing us that we have to display that humility before other people. So, verse 5 says, just to defend this statement, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. It's talking to your youth. Clothe yourself, all of you. All of you, not just the youth, but everybody. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter starts talking to the elders in verses 1 through 4 and how they exercise their leadership with humility before others. Now the younger people have to submit to the elders, which implies humility. And the whole church has to be humble toward not just the pastor, but toward one another, everybody in the church. That means that the oldest member of the church must be humble before the youngest one. There's no distinction. If we are disciples of Jesus, we are called to clothe ourselves with clothes of humility before everybody. It is easy to be humble when you are alone. But it's not very easy to be humble when we are surrounded by people. And there's a story that can help us a little bit to see how being surrounded by people makes things harder. So the story is told of two women in Shanghai, China, who were discussing the topic of pride and began to wonder if Hudson Taylor, which is a very well-known missionary to China, if Hudson Taylor was ever tempted to be prideful because of his many accomplishments. So one of the women decided to ask Hudson Taylor's wife, Maria, about this temptation of pride. Maria promised the woman that she would find out. So when Mrs. Taylor asked her husband if he was ever tempted to be proud, he was surprised. And he said, "Proud about what?" "About all the things you have done," his wife explained. And Taylor responded, "I never knew I had done everything." And it is true. None of us has done anything. It is by the grace of God that any achievement has been accomplished. We shouldn't boast before others about our accomplishments in life or in church ministry before other people. But we have to let God in His time bring glory to us for all the things we have done. Because it's by His grace. As Peter, the elders of the church, Hudson Taylor, and our greater example, Jesus Christ, we are humble, putting our eyes in the reward that God promises to us. In verse 5, when Peter says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That is the reward. Grace from God. By being humble, you will receive grace by God. So the motivation of the humble one is to find grace before God. We show humble conduct before other people because we want to find grace before God. We are humble because we will be rewarded by God. Now, the opposite is true as well. If we are not humble, God will oppose to you, to me. And the most important moment of every human being is the one when he humbles himself before God. recognizing that he or she is a sinner, asking God with a humble heart for forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. And you know what? It is very difficult to get to that point of humiliation and saying, God, I can't. Give me your mercy. But that is what Christianity is about. And that is the reason why many people is not a Christian, because they don't want to humble themselves before God, because they think they are sufficient. We might be thinking that we are sufficient as well sometimes. Jesus Christ set an example of humility, and we follow that same pattern in the moment we become Christians, and then in the rest of our Christian life as well. So, since humility is to be practiced before others, not just before God, it is going to be necessary to also ask forgiveness, not just to God, but more than one time to your brother and sister in the church. So, if you are not perfect like me, you will fail. So, the question is, are you ready to confess your sin before God? And the answer is, yes, yes, of course, I am ready. Lord, forgive me. I humble myself before you. But are you ready to confess when you fail your brother and sister? It is humiliating. It is hard. But the encouraging part of all of this humiliation, self-humiliation, self-clothing in humility, is that God will reward you. Now, I don't want you to think, amen, Josue. There are so many people that need to come and ask me forgiveness for all of their sins. No. This word is for you. We don't look at the word to think, oh, there are so many people that is not here that wish they were listening to this. But this word is for you. I don't know any situation, but you know, because you are accountable before the Lord. So the motivation to pursue humility is that God will reward you. The necessity of humility is that this gives us grace before God. We need to clothe ourselves with humility. It's for our benefit. The glorious clothes that the world appreciates are those expensive and fancy materials that are attracted to the human eye. Those kinds of clothes will bring glory from men to those who wear those kinds of clothes. But that glory is temporary and will pass. As those clothes get old and don't last, the clothes of eternal glory is humility. Because it's God himself who exalts, and that glory will last. Clothe yourself with humility and you will receive an eternal glory from God. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ and his example. We also want to be wearing the clothes of glory, which is humility. Help us, Lord, to be an example to others and to display our humility, not a fake one, but a genuine one, as we model Christ before others. Help us to be humble and recognize our fails before others as well when we do so. And help us to don't fail, but honor our brothers and sisters in every way we can. Thank you for your church and this time that we know that you guide and you work with us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit as he is working in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.